Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the man's good shit. Let's go hook him up! I'm gonna dog you until I wear your Texas ass out. The game is ours to play. And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Drops and my
Audacity that I used to record, it kept crashing, and it kept pissing me off. And my computer, the computer kept freezing. You know, you've had your computer freeze on you before, right?
Uh-huh.
And so, even though you know you can't do anything but wait, you sit there and you start just pushing buttons, even though you know it doesn't do any good. I just start pushing. Nothing happens. I sit there for about 5 minutes. Then I get the blue screen of death. I said, and I need a new computer anyway. I said, I'm so sick of this shit. This fucking computer. So I got so damn frustrated, and this computer's always making all this noise. And it sounded like it was laughing at me, which pissed me off even more because it couldn't do anything about it. So I just unplugged the damn thing, and I walked outside, and I threw it into a tree.
Just now.
Now, was this a home PC or a laptop?
A home PC, one of those big ones. And, of course, the thing doesn't break. I'm so daggum mad that I'm even madder that it didn't break. So, I mean, I want to see wires. I want to see motherboards and shit. So I just went and got a mallet and just bashed the shit out of it. It made me so damn mad.
You feel better now, though, right?
Yes. I don't have a computer, but I feel better.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to buy one today. What happened?
I just wasn't in the mood today. I just sat here and ate Hot Pockets and watched Frasier on Netflix all day. I'm going to go tomorrow. So, no, I haven't seen the DVD we're supposed to review. Sorry.
Yeah.
I can keep up, though. So.
Hmm.
I was so damn upset last night. I had to drive across town in the middle of the night to my parents' house and get a Xanax from my mother to calm my ass down.
Hmm.
It's a Xanax?
Yeah.
Huh.
I'm surprised you didn't fall down with a bottle of Jim Beam or something.
No.
Maybe he did. Didn't say he didn't.
But I'm doing fine now.
That's good. You know what? I did the same thing to a guitar amp one time.
Did you?
Yeah. It was cutting out on me, and I took it up onto the second-story balcony at our house. And did a low-seated drop kick to it. And luckily I didn't break the deck now that I think about it. But, it fell a couple stories on the pavement below, and I just grinned as it splatted down below. It was great.
It's one of those things you wish you could do, but you never do it. You know, you wish you could just take, like, a TV or, you know, like your Nintendo when you couldn't get past a level and you throw the controller across the room or some shit like that. You just want to take it outside and bash it. That's what I did.
Yeah.
So.
And now that you're adult, you can do such things.
Cross that off my bucket list. I destroyed
y'all have anger issues. Y'all need medication or something.
Now, that was years ago, Ed.
Yeah. Well, speaking of, since you don't have a computer and you didn't get a computer, does that mean we have any news of the week?
Oh, yes, we do. Somehow, Couture copied and pasted everything from his iPhone?
Yes.
Good man. Yeah, no, we got plenty of news.
Thankfully, I got my iPhone, so I'm not too down about not having a computer right now. So
it's pretty amazing you got all this done with the iPhone, to be honest with you.
If you would have had a Droid, you could have watched the clips and watched the documentary on your phone.
Actually, I was watching the documentary on my iPad, so.
I'm only allowed just gigabytes of I'm only allowed 2 gigabytes a month. I'd worry it would like go over the limit or something if I watched the full 2-hour thing on my telephone.
Mm-hmm. I actually didn't get to watch all of it either, Ed, to be honest with you. I'm up to the second part, about halfway in. I've been working a lot of hours this week, and I came home with the intent to watch it when I got home from work. And as I was going out to get my son Cameron from school, there was a wreck on the freeway, and it took me what usually takes me about 45 minutes to go do. It took me an hour and a half. So I got home, I started watching it, and fell asleep. Not that it's bad. I was just really tired. And so I got stuff we can talk about, though. It's all good.
I got through the first 15 minutes when they were talking about when they were killing the tag teams and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's about where I got to before I got frustrated.
Yeah, that's about where I fell asleep, oddly enough.
And this is the internet. I'm supposed to be able to find anything. And she, you know, one thing you try to find so hard you can't never find.
Right.
It's just irritating.
Right.
Well, thanks for both of you guys for screwing up the whole show tonight.
Well, I had like 2 days' notice to watch this thing, or maybe at least 1 day's notice.
I called you the day before that, trying to get hold of you, but you waited a whole day before you got back to me.
And you told me last night, by the way.
Oh, gosh. See?
Mm-hmm.
This is clearly not our fault.
Well,
it's my fault for Craig. It's not my fault for Craig. Sure.
Let's take a peek behind the door. See, here's what usually happens. Craig gets a guest. Or, if I can't get a guest, then you know, a couple days before Tuesday or Wednesday, I'll say, hey, no go on the guest. You know, at Thursday at the very latest, if, you know, nothing happens, we need to come up with a topic. And one of us will figure something out. And so last week, Ed goes, don't worry, I'll get Meltzer, blah, 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 blah.
Well, he told me he would do it this week, but then he told me that, you know, let's wait till after football season. So I'm not going to argue with Big Dave.
After football season.
Yeah, he says he goes to high school football every Friday night.
Yeah.
Never been.
So up until last night, I'm just assuming Big Dave is going to be on the show tonight. Because Ed took care of it, and Craig, the producer, just, you know, okay, whatever, that's cool. I'll just chill. No reason to get everybody all worked up. And so I messaged Ed, 8:30 last night. Hey, Ed, what time is Big Dave going to be on? Oh, he's not. I see. So what are we going to do? And he probably left the computer to go smoke or something. I'm not 100% sure. And he finally comes back and says, oh, yeah,
well,
here, find
well,
this link.
Well, it happened when I messaged you. I Facebook messaged you from my phone, and apparently it didn't go through, and I didn't realize that it doesn't, you know, beep like if your text doesn't go through. So
mm-hmm.
I didn't know that it didn't go through until you sent me another message later on that night.
Yeah. Well, anyway, long story short, we got some news, and we got a vague outline of the Brett and Sean DVD.
My phone does that too. We all don't know the whole story anyway.
Right. Does that too. Sometimes it'll alert me on something, and sometimes it won't, like on Facebook or something. Sometimes I got to go to Facebook just to get the alert to come up. So.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the way Facebook is now. You have to go to Facebook to see if you have got alerted. But anyway.
Well, not really. It depends on which version you're using. If you're using your mobile version or if you're using the Facebook mobile version. So, but they're slowly getting closer to each other and how they work. But I did finally, because it was pissing me off, because whenever I would get a Facebook message in my phone, it would go to my phone. It would never make any noise. So unless I actually looked at my phone, I had no idea. But now I downloaded something to where I get the beeps if I get a Facebook message. So that actually is pretty cool, but it's like just having trouble having them go through using my phone. So anyway, hopefully one day they will straighten all this technical crap out. But other than that, I guess we'll go ahead and start with the news then.
Yes, let's start with the news. There was a WWE pay-per-view last weekend. It was called Vengeance. And if anybody missed that show, you are not in the minority. There was a... There was a lot of people that didn't see this show. I had Vinny and Brian and Whitney and Whitney's sister over for the pay-per-view. At one point, I can't remember what match we were watching. It might have been like the Truth and Miz against Punk and Triple H match. We were kind of getting bored, and Whitney had mentioned that she was looking for a costume. And all three of us were on the internet looking for adult mermaid costumes instead of watching the pay-per-view in front of us. It was pretty lackluster pay-per-view. I mean, everything was fine on it, but it's nothing you wouldn't have seen on Monday Night Raw.
Final two matches made the show.
Absolutely. But up until then, pretty much everything was missable.
Yeah, and then that Miz and R-Truth match, I fell asleep during that and actually woke up and Kevin Nash was on my screen.
Right. It wasn't anything spectacular, but let's run down that card here. The WWE Tag Champions Kofi Kingston and Evan Bourne defeated the WWE U.S. Champion Dolph Ziggler and Jack Swagger in 1324 when Bourne pinned Ziggler with Airborne following Kingston's spin kick to the face.
Now, this finish was a seriously big surprise to me because I received some information before the pay-per-view and I was not expecting that finish to go down that way, especially the way it went down. And unfortunately, I'm not going to share this information with people, but, you know, it'll probably be evident in a few weeks if it actually what happened.
Thanks, Dave. Please, and don't tell us.
Yeah.
I got the same information.
Yeah, because I gave it to him. That's why.
And I blamed you for the whole thing. Okay, so anyway, I was shocked, too, because I figured that Ziggler would lose the title to Zach, and then Zach and Swagger would win the tag champions, especially after receiving the news that I got. So this was all a big swerve to everybody.
I remember last week you guys were all about, this is how they should do it. We're going to make him look strong. This is the way to get him over. And I'm like,
right.
What are you guys talking about? They're going to make him look like an idiot. And basically that's what they did. Well,
yeah.
They actually let him win, beat Zack Ryder, so that was different. But I was almost expecting him to lose both matches.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they made Zack Ryder look a little bit more of an idiot than Dolph Ziggler. He
True.
Couldn't even beat a hurt man. But it's Zack Ryder, you know, it don't matter if he looks like an idiot. Even though some think it does.
His character is that he's an idiot. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I like Zack Ryder, but I don't see, big time money in Zack Ryder.
I don't get it.
To me,
him.
He's right where he should be.
Yeah.
He's probably even ahead of where he should be, honestly. I mean, he should be lower mid-card comedy, that's what he is.
Ziggler needs to be lower mid-card
comedy?
Yeah,
Ziggler, I'm sorry. I'm talking about fucking woo guy.
Swagger.
Yeah.
Swagger. I noticed that Ziggler was wearing a singlet in this match.
Yeah, but he didn't have the straps pulled up.
I wonder if he had them up before he went out and he thought he looked stupid, so he just pulled them down or something. Because he didn't have the singlet on the next night.
Yeah.
He probably thought he looked like Mr. Perfect or something.
Yeah, that's what he's trying to. That's what he's going for. You can just say Mr. Perfect and him, you know, just with some
sure.
of the things he does and mannerisms and the way he works.
Yeah, he's like a young Kurt Hennig. I mean, he's very the monkey flip spot.
Oh, geez.
That was fucking awesome. That
was
threw me out of my chair. I mean, that was so awesome.
For me, with Dolph Ziggler, I can't get past the name.
Right.
See, the name doesn't bother me as much as it does other people. I think the name is fine. It's wrestling. Everyone has wacky names.
Well, I mean, it's just WWE Heavyweight Champion Dolph Ziggler. I don't see it.
Well, the only thing is it doesn't work if he goes babyface because it's not a name you can really chant.
Just call him Dolph or something. I don't care.
Maybe they could switch the Z and the D and call him Zolf Diggler. No?
Or maybe not.
Okay. So anyway, after this match, it went directly into the U.S. title match. The U.S. Championship champion Dolph Ziggler pinned Zack Ryder in 6:03 with a super kick after Ryder fought off an interference from Swagger. Easy for me to say. So,
it went 6 minutes, but I actually thought it'd go 6 seconds. I mean, I really thought... that
right.
It was going to be, he's going to hit the ring, he's going to hit the leg lariat, and boom, he's a champion. But they decided to tease all the Zack Ryder fans. That's what it is. It's just a tease to fuck the internet fans. But they do a lot of that shit. You know, that's why Daniel Bryan has only won one match in like 3 months.
I'd have gone with making Ziggler a double champion with the tag titles and the U.S. title.
Absolutely. That's the way I would have done it.
Because he and Swagger, they're a good team, so.
Yeah,
and that's why they didn't do it because that's what they should have done, and that's you know.
True.
They just they I don't know they just you gotta you, I mean, right now, if anybody in the mid-card, upper mid-card, the guy who probably has the most potential to move up right now, I think, is Ziggler. But they just very shy on pulling the trigger on him for some reason. You know?
Does anybody really consider him a former world champion? I sure as hell don't.
I totally forgot about that until they brought it up.
I don't know. What he won it because Edge used a spear or something like that, and then immediately lost it or something. I don't even remember hardly. I just know they say he's a world champion. He was a world champion. I kind of forget Swagger was a world champion, too.
Well, he was champion a little longer, and then it was, and that's when they had, they just had so much stupid. I mean, they made the world champion into Santino, basically.
Anyway, next up, we had the WWE Divas Champion, Beth Phoenix, pinning Eve with a glam slam in 7:18. This was actually not a good match.
No, it was a good match. God, you guys are just such snobs when it comes to women's wrestling. This was a decent match. I'm not saying it's the greatest match. It's not Trish versus Lita or Lita Scorpion, but it was a good match, and it was pretty well worked out, and it was fine.
Now, everybody remember, Ed was in the building. Everybody else was watching on TVs. In the building, it's always better.
I would have the same opinion that I was watching it on TV, to be honest. But
okay.
Just continue. You guys are gay, so let's just continue.
What's this, you guys stuff? I ain't even said anything about the damn match.
You're thinking it. I know you. That's why. You didn't even see it. You probably would have took a shit.
Okay, anyway. Sheamus pinned Christian with a boot to the face in 10:37 as Christian was attempting the spear. Awesome finish to a pretty good match.
Did you guys notice that Christian's main offensive move the last couple weeks is just the punch to the face? I mean, he must have thrown like 50 of those like Dusty Rhodes by the eating punches.
I don't know. I know somebody needs to get him a new T-shirt because that one he's got is god awful. Flip the switch.
Yeah.
But
well,
Sheamus looked great. I mean, Sheamus looked great. I mean, a lot of it's Christian, but I mean, Sheamus is like, he's like, I guess, actually, I take back what I said about Ziggler. Sheamus is the guy who's the closest to the verge of going to the main event because he's getting over. I mean, he was over in the building, and, he's been doing a good job until that one fucked up kick on Raw, but I thought they saved that very well. You know, Cody grabbed his knee right away, and then Sheamus didn't waste no time to pick him up. I mean, they saved that as best they could, and that's pretty good.
Well, plus it was later in the night that that Baron Morrison fucked up a war spot. So,
Oh yeah,
when he went for the kick and he tried to catch him over his shoulders for the wasteland, and he dropped him.
Miz and R-Truth defeated Triple H and CM Punk at just over the 15-minute mark. Miz pinned Punk with the Little Jimmy's finale. Kevin Nash came out of the crowd and attacked Triple H at ringside. After the no contest, Nash continued to assault Triple H in the ring, ending with the ugliest powerbomb I have seen in years, which caused me to look at Brian and said, hasn't he been doing this for over 20 years and he still doesn't know how to do his own finisher without killing somebody?
He's also 20 years older.
Right. Yeah. You know, I was taught to do a power bomb. You lift the guy up and you guide him to the ground so you don't drop him on the back of his head and neck. And this guy picked up a 200 and probably 70 pound man, dropped him right on the back of his head. Moron.
Yeah.
And it's his buddy.
The one thing about this match, and I have no idea how it came off on TV, but it's like everybody was like over when they came out. You know, Miz and Truth were you know, getting heat, and they were over coming out. Punk was over big time coming out. Triple H, you know, he always gets a superstar reaction. And then the match started, and no one really gave a shit. I mean, they cheered a little bit on the comebacks and some of the stuff, but I don't know. I guess they only took Miz and Truth actually winning the match or whatever. And It didn't click or something.
I don't know. It was a
good match. I enjoyed it and everything. And match was a kind of a surprise because I was looking down doing something, and I look up, and I just see Nash. I was like, what the old shit? And then, you know. And I don't care that he almost dropped Hunter on the back of his neck. You know, Hunter pisses me off.
Randy Orton pinned the Intercontinental Champion Cody Rhodes in a non-title match where they didn't even bother to say that or pretty much give any notice to the belt at the 12 minute 13 second mark with an RKO after causing Rhodey to collide with one of his baggers. In this match, Cody Rhodes did one of the prettiest moonsaults that he landed on his face.
Yeah, and then awesome. His knees. With no knee pads. He's such a dumbass.
Yeah. It was amazing looking moonsault, and then he just crashed and burned.
No, it's kind of stupid. You know, they made a big deal about they're bringing the classic title belt back. So, you know, it gets a little bit more attention, but they don't even have the title on the line, like it's important or anything.
Well, the belt is beneath Randy Orton. Everybody knows that.
Cross just put it on him, and I'd put the title on him or something like that.
It's all Hunter's fault. It's all Hunter's fault because Hunter was the one that started the shit that he was too good for the title, and now they look at all main eventers the same way like that. I mean, back in the day, main eventers always had Stone Cold was the Intercontinental Champion when he was already Stone Cold. I mean, The Rock had it when he was already big. I mean, you know, Randy Savage, a lot of guys were main eventers who went down to get the title and then brought prestige to the title and still had their second to the main event. But nowadays, it's like, okay, once you've been the world champion, you can't ever go back. And I think it's stupid because I think it would open it up for a lot more stuff. You could have Randy Orton be the Intercontinental Champion, and then, you know, yeah, if you're going to move him back to the world title before, you could do a program where you actually get a younger guy to go over Randy and may actually help move a guy up. And, you know, but unfortunately everyone's too good for it, so you can't bring up anybody. It's always going to be mid-carders against mid-carders fighting for the title, and no one's ever going to get that. No one's ever going to get that Tito Santana victory where the underdog won the title and then got over and had a good run with it.
Yep. Can't argue with it. We had Big Show and Mark Henry. They fought to a no contest at the 11-minute mark, 11:30 to be exact. Mark Henry suplexed Big Show in the ring, and they had the Brock Lesnar special. The ring exploded, and so did the arena when the ring collapsed.
This match was awesome even before that spot.
Absolutely. They were throwing each other around, and Henry was bumping like crazy, and they were moving, and Show was sweating like mad. These guys were working their butts off, and it was a great match.
Maybe the best match either these guys have had.
Oh, easily.
Mark Henry, I mean, Jesus Christ, was he working his ass off. He took like four bumps in a row, or at least three, where he took the bump, got right back up, I mean, that's not easy for anybody, especially when you're like over 400 pounds. And, I mean, I never seen him work that hard before. Never. And when that fucking ring fucking blew up, I mean, I can't even describe the pop. That was just like, you know, the place just went batshit crazy. And they were into it way before. I mean, they were into the match pretty much the whole time. I mean, a lot of people are laughing at me for saying this, but this is 4-star plus.
Yeah, I liked it. I think both Dave and Brian gave it 3.5, which sometimes, you know, when some of these matches, sometimes they don't put them over like I think they should, just because they're, you know, they're big guys. You can only have as good a match as you could expect with a big guy or something like that. They kind of don't put him over like they should, but they gave it a good rate. I was looking at Wade Keller's star rate, and he gave it 1.5. I said, fuck you.
What?
That's insane. Like, a lot of
that's
people,
gay.
They have this this mentality that the work has to be perfect. Well, when you have guys that big, the work can't be perfect just because they're that big. And you got to look at how hard they're working, and they were working hard, both of them. I mean, they busted their ass. Like
I really thought the match was over when he chokeslammed him from the top rope. I said, oh,
yeah,
they're taking the title off of him, and then he. I'm always amazed how they can, you know, plan that spot out, that suplex spot, and, you know, it just come off without a hitch, you know, just collapse. I mean, because, you know, that chokeslam spot, you'd have thought the ring would have collapsed from that or something, you know. I don't know how they do that, but maybe they have charges set up or something where, you know, I don't know, something under the ring goes.
I was trying to analyze it, and it's as easy as not bolting the one post to the floor, because if you notice, that's the only one that kicked out on the side. The other ones were standing up. That one kicked out. So I don't know if they had somebody underneath it pushing it out, which would have been suicide, or if they actually had a rope tied to one of them.
That's what I was thinking, because, you know, if it was set to go, it would have gone with the choke slam.
We've gone with a lot of stuff that they had done in that match. I mean, they were, you know, they're throwing each other all over the place. So
yeah, I mean, well, however they did it, they did a damn good job. That's pretty much all I can say in all the match.
From there, we had Laurinaitis coming out and saying that the world title would take place as scheduled. So in a broken ring, the WWE World Champion Alberto Del Rio defeated John Cena. In the last man standing match, this match went 26, almost 27 minutes after Del Rio hit Cena with the title belt, and Cena was unable to answer the 10 count. Pretty good match, too, actually.
Yeah, you know, if Mark Henry and Big Show, if they would have gone on last, I would have predicted that the ring was going to blow up or something like that.
Right.
And I know that when y'all saw them getting ready to do that suplex, first thing popped in your mind was Brock and Big Show. I mean, that's the first thing popped in my mind. I mean, how big those guys are. If Big Show and Mark Henry would have gone on last, I would have known something was up, because they're not a match you're going to put on last on a pay-per-view, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it was a unique environment.
I'm starting to think you could do it on the next one. I mean, they're not, because The Rock's going to be on the show. If The Rock wasn't on the show, I think you could go main event with them. I mean, that match got over big time.
Yeah, and I thought it was unique. You know, I don't think we've ever had a world title match on pay-per-view in a broken ring before. That was pretty cool. And Del Rio, he was working his ass. He got launched from out of that ring and those dasher boards.
That was awesome. Stupid as bump.
And I kind of felt bad for him, because, you know, I don't – with those rings, I don't know if it's like going to be a little bit harder now that it's all flat and everything, you know. I don't know, it's kind of weird.
Well, he's used to that shit. I mean, I know you don't watch Lucha, but I know Craig does, and he'll agree with me that those rings look like they're rock hard, and then they don't even have mats on the outside, and they're constantly going to the outside, so.
Yeah, those rings are ridiculous.
Yeah, so I'm sure he was having flashbacks to Arena Mexico.
Totally. So that was the pay-per-view.
I want to talk about my favorite spot of the match, because at first I was kind of annoyed at it, but when they went to the back and they had those structures around, I guess, where they would do the interviews, and he knocked Cena down, and then he slowly pushed each one down. The way he was selling having to push those suckers down. At first, I was like, oh, my God, come on. And then by the time it got to the third and fourth one, it was just, I don't know, it just, something changed in my brain to where I thought it was just so awesome. Because, you know, he could have just slapped them and they would have fell over.
It would make it more like Superman to be able to get up.
Oh, and also when they were fighting with the steps, they were acting like those things were heavier than Mark Henry. And I've seen 100-pound referees pick those things up like nothing and carry them to the back. So, I mean, they did an awesome job with some of the things that they sold. I mean, it was kind of absurd, but to me, it made it more enjoyable to me for some reason.
What was the dark match?
The dark match
was
Daniel Bryan against Wade Barrett and it was a decent match, and at first, you know, I mean, Brian had some cheers at first, but he wasn't super over, but by the end of the match, he was pretty over, but of course, you know, he did the job.
Do you know that on the WrestleMania website, they posted, like, they got the, for next year's WrestleMania, they got Cena versus The Rock, and they both so posted Daniel Bryan cashing in his Money in the Bank contract. They should have that up.
So, I don't know
if that says something about where they're going.
He did win tonight, so maybe it's the start of the streak or something. Maybe, I don't know, maybe they just were, maybe like he was testing them, he was trying to see how he's going to react to jobbing, you know how they do their shit.
I wouldn't mind seeing a David Goliath match with him and Mark Henry. I think that could be actually be pretty good, you know, for the world title at WrestleMania.
Actually, that would be good, but I think they're probably going to go with him and Randy. But yeah, that'd be awesome.
Randy too, Daniel Bryan. Who, Daniel Bryan against Randy?
No, I think they're going to go Randy and Mark Henry. To me, that's a logical choice since they're the two biggest stars. But I like your idea better. I mean, I would love to see him go after Mark Henry and have a day. If you had Mark Henry just kill everybody until WrestleMania, and you had Daniel Bryan somehow tap him out, that would get Bryan over. But I don't see it happening.
I think they've been talking about maybe Undertaker and Mark Henry at Mania next year also.
Yeah, you could probably do that too now. But I wouldn't. I don't think it'd be that great. Undertaker's just too beat up now.
Plus, he's got a good record the last 3 years, having the best match on the show. It's kind of, I don't know, it's, I think people come to expect an awesome performance in the Undertaker match from now on.
Yeah.
Right. He ain't going to be able to do it forever.
No.
He's got one or two left. That's about it.
The former NWA World Heavyweight Champion and Four Horsemen member Barry Windham was hospitalized. He is 50 years old, and apparently Pardon?
I can't believe he's 50. It just makes me feel so old.
Well, that's because
I can still remember the teenage Barry Windham, you know, and now he's only 50 now. 30 years.
Barry was one of the top in-ring wrestlers in the 1980s. He is currently hospitalized and in intensive care in Florida. He suffered a heart attack on the 26th of this month, which is just a couple days ago for you checking. Barry Windham's father, Blackjack Mulligan, noted that the following day there was much improvement in Windham today, but a long recovery was ahead of him. Gotten an update on this. Apparently he has feeling back in his toes and in his fingers, but still not out of the woods yet.
I didn't know that a heart attack paralyzes you. So to me,
they don't know if it was a heart attack yet or stroke. They haven't figured out which one. I'd say
I would bet it's a stroke.
Yeah.
Anyway, heart and thoughts and prayers go out to him and his family.
Yeah. Barry was so awesome back in the day. The only problem with Barry is Barry just didn't give a fuck. He didn't care. He didn't work out. He didn't stay in shape. I mean, he was just so naturally awesome. I mean, could you imagine Barry Windham if he cared and kept himself in perfect shape? I mean, when he gained a few pounds, he was still awesome. But if he would have stayed the way he looked when he was 19, 20, you know, and was able to maintain that and keep that and not, you know, then not go on hiatuses after a while when he's at the top of his momentum. I mean, we could be talking about Barry Windham being one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. And now, unfortunately, we just talk about him being one of the best wrestlers of the mid-80s.
Yeah, I thought he was, I mean, I think maybe from like 85 through like 88 or 89, he's probably like, I put him right up there at the top with like Ric Flair or somebody like that. He was an awesome, awesome worker. Probably my favorite
Absolutely.
Of all time.
And what was awesome about him is like him and, to me, like him and Kerry Von Erich were the two best big men at being able to get sympathy.
Mm.
You know, at being a babyface and Pearl. Usually it's hard to get sympathy for a big-ass babyface like that when he's getting his ass kicked. It's almost unbelievable. For some reason, him and Kerry, to me, in my mind, were just awesome at being babyfaces in peril.
And he was just, like, so fluid in the ring. He's just, like, so smooth in the ring. It's just, like, awesome to watch. And he and Steamboat probably had the best matches with Ric Flair.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Yeah, absolutely. Also, in other health news, Gerald Briscoe, let me get through this. Gerald Briscoe suffered a stroke and is later reported dead. Gerald Briscoe, 65, who has been with the company in an administrative capacity since 1985, suffered a mild stroke on the 19th. He was headed to Mexico to scout the Pan American Games wrestling tournament. He was very lucky as his son Wes, a former WWE development wrestler, was driving him to the airport when it happened. And Gerald immediately recognized it and took Wes, and Wes took him to the hospital. Earlier this week, there was a huge rumor going around that he had passed away, but it was proven to be false, and he was reportedly resting comfortably at home.
Yeah, DDP got on Twitter the other day and said, he said, "I'm sad to report that Gerald Briscoe has passed away," on his Twitter. And he came back a few minutes later and said, "One of the greatest wrestlers of all time, I'll miss Gerald Briscoe." And then the Road Dog gets on his Twitter and says, this is just a rumor. He's not dead. He's ugly. He's ugly, but he's just not dead."
It's probably just some mark that told DDT and he didn't check, and, you know, I don't know. I mean,
I always wait for Meltzer to say something, then I'll talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, wow, I wonder how much heat DDT is getting for this, if any at all. I wouldn't imagine
it's kind of embarrassing. Probably embarrassing.
Yeah, it's probably more embarrassing than, but yeah, I'd be embarrassed too. Fucking said someone died and they didn't die like that, and everyone starts to believe me.
I'd be embarrassed if, like, somebody posted fake SmackDown spoilers on a site and I, like, posted them on the board and they weren't real. Something like that.
Right.
But also, that was weird because, you know, he's talking about he's in the car and when it happened. I guess we also need to throw out condolences to Lance Storm on the death of his stepfather.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's pretty sad.
Yeah.
So best wishes to Lance and the rest of his family. This was just a very weird week for, I don't want to say deaths, because unfortunately it's only Lance's stepfather that passed away, but you got Barry Windham and Briscoe, and then you got Carl Cox. And I only remember the very, very old Cox. You know, I only remember him vaguely, like the very early 80s, but he was actually a very big deal for, like, a long time, and it looked like he wasn't going to pull through either, because I think he was asleep for quite a while, but he's actually responding now. So it looks like all three of them are going to pull through, hopefully.
And
but,
very
weird.
I think the Wednesday show that Killer Carl Cox later in his career did, like, the Rick Steiner gimmick where he was acting goofy and stuff like that, but he did it better than Rick Steiner did. I don't believe that. I don't believe anybody did that Varsity Club stuff better than Rick Steiner. He was awesome.
Well, I don't think it was exactly like Rick Steiner. I think he just meant as far as being a goof. And
okay.
And it's funny because, like, I think Dick Murdoch, I mean, him and Dick Murdoch feuded a lot, but I think that was, like, Dick Murdoch's hero, basically. And at the end of his career, he tried to be the goof like Carl Cox and, you know, just, you know, start doing the head scissors and just wasn't being, you know, the old killer Dick Murdoch. He just, Their careers kind of were very similar to me, I think.
Spoiler alert. So if you don't want to hear who wins the NWA world title, skip ahead a few minutes.
The United title?
Oh, yeah. I do that all the time, don't I? Because it was actually the NWA title at one time.
Yes, back when it was real.
What? Yeah, exactly. Anyway, on Wednesday at the Impact tapings in Macon, Georgia, Robert Roode defeated James Storm to win the TNA World title. Roode turned on Storm and hit him with a beer bottle to win the title.
Boy, they get through this shit quick, didn't they?
6 months worth of storyline done in 3 weeks.
Amazing. Well, not amazing, but amazing just the things they do. I mean,
yeah.
God. You know, you have this. Exactly. You have this. Okay, you don't put it on Robert Roode. Fine. You put it on Jane Storm. They had this awesome moment with the, you know, the crowd's into it. You know, he's doing the speech and, you know, stuff like that. And then they just take it off of him like a week later. It's just,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it kind of is, you know, it's kind of like David was talking about, you know, that first title win is always, like, pretty big, you know, for
mm-hmm.
a guy like that. And I mean,
yeah.
he can win it again, but I don't know if it'd have the effect as like that first one. Like, it kind of reminds me, remember when Randy Orton first won the title from Benoit?
Oh, yeah.
And he was over huge at that point, and then Triple H won it a month later, and it took like years for Randy Orton to get back to, you know, as hot as he was.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
Gosh,
I don't know. It's,
you don't,
it's,
you don't say your friend, your little buddy is on Facebook
uh-huh.
telling everyone to listen to After Dark right now, right when our show has to be on. Little asshole.
That's because he doesn't know our show exists, and
we
need to understand that.
He plugs it every week. Twice
well, that's
he
fine.
It on the last thing
on the show, I don't know if I don't. I've never heard of any of his guests, so we're even.
I listened to his After Dark one time.
I mean, don't get me wrong. His guests at the, in the outside when he announces them seem to be awesome, but in my opinion, they do not talk about or go into as much information about things as they should. They're very vague about everything, and it's. I like the show because I like listening to shit like that, but to me, it's not the caliber of. What is it, Coast to Coast AM? Yet, but I don't know.
But
maybe we'll get there.
If I want to go, to, if I have insomnia, that's all it does for me. So.
Yeah, well, you're still not trying to tell people to listen to it when we're live. I mean, these weeks are over.
I don't need another dissertation on who killed JFK and all that bullshit.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
I'm sure he's a wonderful person though, in real life.
Oh sure. Oh yeah. But anyway, our next story just happened just hours ago. Former WWE Divas Champion Maryse has been let go by the WWE. Bye, Maryse.
Thanks
for the memories.
I'm sad and heartbroken and distressed about this. No more Maryse. Oh, my God. Maryse is like the wackiest diva of all time. You know, and she's gone now. It just breaks my heart.
Now, have protection? Maybe is the stalker going to get her now? She's not employed by WWE anymore.
Gosh, wherever will they find another big, blonde girl?
She is, right? She's in the
middle. Dude, no one is like Maryse. And they're never going to find anyone like Maryse. Maryse just had some wacky thing to her, dude. It was just, she's one of a kind.
Yeah.
I remember when she passed out in the ring.
I apologize for my co-hosts. They're very gay, so I apologize to all the other men on the
show. I didn't say anything about it.
You're thinking it. I know you.
I'm not thinking it. I haven't said a bad word about Maryse. I like Maryse. Just because I'm
you're forgiven.
I want to have anal sex with her. I mean, I don't like her.
I like to have anal sex with her and a whole lot of other things with her.
Don't read somebody else's mind. Leave me alone.
Craig the producer does not condone or accept the opinions of these two morons that I have on the other end of the show. Anyway, yeah, she was released, and you guys stepped on my joke. Thanks for the memories. Okay, let's move on. We have the funniest story of the week right here. Another Vince McMahon freakout. Vince McMahon has freaked out over the last several weeks back when he read Ryder's T-shirt. The phrase on the shirt has been approved was, take care, spike your hair. He freaked out because of the word spike.
This is Zach Ryder, by the way.
See, TNA, Impact Wrestling, is on that network. Vince at one point talked about pulling the shirt off the market, but eventually agreed to stop all productions of the shirt, but sell the ones in stock. So go get your Ryder's. They're very, very limited edition. They'll be worth millions of dollars on eBay. Let's be honest. They're not going to be worth jack. Now that those shirts are gone, the new Ryder T-shirt minus the phrase is out.
Chris's friends would pay a shitload of money for that fucking shirt.
Well, anyway, go get them while you still can, and hold on to them for 6-8 weeks, and they'll be worth some money on eBay.
Watch the next time, the next shirt they'll come, that Zach Ryder will design is like, he'll say, Sinclair your hair, and then they'll have to get rid of that one, too.
I just want to know is, when the hell did this big man go insane about
he's been insane
shit like
for
that?
A while.
Years ago.
Just gone further.
Years ago.
I want to know exactly when he snapped, though. I wonder if Dave would be able to pinpoint the moment that this big man just snapped.
I think this has been a gradual process over about a 3-year period. I don't know.
I'm sure it happened about the time that Benoit did all the horrific things he did. Right. Just throwing it out there.
That's like when you had, like, Spike Lee was going to sue Spike the Network because they had his name on there and people were going to think it's a Spike Lee channel or some stupid bullshit like that.
Right.
And I don't know. People freak out over the stupid shit.
Vince freaks out over the stupid shit. I mean, think about it. Let's think of words that are not allowed to be used on the TV show. And let's start with wrestling. Or belts. You know?
Yeah, I don't mind the belt thing so much because if you call it, it's a little bit more prestigious calling them championships. So, I don't know. I don't know if that would bother me that much.
Belts?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying call it belts every time, but, you know, you can refer to it as a championship belt. You know, it's a belt.
He got in a pissing contest with the World Wildlife Fund and lost his initials.
Yeah. Yeah, that would drive people insane.
Yeah.
And that Twitter thing on Monday, I was about to vomit.
Right?
Every time I looked
up,
it said trending. Kevin Nash is trending. CM Punk is trending. Somebody else, and then Michael Cole. I hope JR beats him or something. Whatever they're doing Monday, you know, shit. Get rid of him.
You hope they pull the JR shoot off.
I hope they don't embarrass JR again. Maybe they're gonna put him over. I don't know.
That's what they're gonna do. Everyone knows it. I don't know why they do it, though. I mean, because it entertains Vince and Kevin Dunn.
Yeah, they're bullies.
I just don't get it.
They're bullies, and they have a big anti-bullying campaign, and two of the biggest bullies in the company have the last name McMahon.
And I kind of feel bad for Michael Cole, because I don't think he wants
to
be out there
will make a run
stuff.
And save Jim Ross from getting beat.
Yeah, probably.
And I was going to say, I mean, I kind of feel bad for Michael Cole because I know he's not one to say all this shit. And, you know, just because he's the one doing it, he gets kind of like the backlash from it because he's the one out there doing it. So, I don't know.
I had the best time with Vince and Brian over at the house last weekend. We were watching the pay-per-view. And Booker flubbed up a line to a amazing degree. I can't even recreate it. It was just amazing how bad he flubbed at this line. And Brian's like, go back. And so I rewind it, and we're watching, like, the wrestlers in the ring. And then you can kind of see the announcers in the background. And Cole's got his hand over his face, and he's giggling. And the other announcer is doing the same. It was phenomenal watching those guys react to Booker all night. Awesome stuff. So if you got that on tape, go back and check that out. It's funny.
Hey, do you guys remember the story from last night when they were talking about the chick that choked the dude out in the parking lot of the grocery store or something?
Yeah,
I heard it
firsthand, actually, yeah.
And it was like a couple was arguing, or this guy was beating his wife up over coupons or something. I was just wondering, you know, the guy that got choked out, is that Jesse Neal? That's what I was curious about.
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
I heard this story, and if you guys haven't seen this girl, but she's probably all of 4'9". I mean, she's a short chick, and a little on the stocky side. And when he was telling the story, I could not believe that this little person, you know, did anything physical. It's a great story.
It is kind of one of those out there stories that's kind of hard to believe, you know. Just seeing something like that in the parking lot of a grocery store, and I don't know.
I wish it was like a video camera recording, and everyone could see it. I'm sure it was awesome.
When she went to choke him out, and you know, it's not like he's afraid to beat up a woman. You know, he's sitting there doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, you gotta give her credit. That's the ballsy move she did.
Yeah. They, all the other people that were watching, they should put them in prison like in the Good Samaritan Law in Seinfeld in the last episode. They all went to prison because they watched the fat dude get robbed and they didn't do nothing about it.
Right.
Yeah.
I love Seinfeld. Well, we've got 35 minutes for our topic, Ed. Do you want to start this?
Let's just talk about other stuff and we'll postpone the topic till next week. So that way you guys can actually watch it.
I saw enough of it. We can talk about it. I saw enough of it.
No, I'm fine. We'll just move it. We'll just move it to next week. We're
false advertising to our listening community.
Well, we've already
done that before.
And by when I say listening community, I mean like Mark Grin.
Like Mark Grin.
Yeah.
Mark Grin and Daz and Sandman. And no, Sandman, I'm not apologizing for talking bad about Big Daddy. He sucked.
Is it hard to imagine Mark Grin as a guy from...
he's the guy in the poster, you know, his
right.
He looks like Gordy Wilson, dude. He has to. If I ever meet Mark Grin and he don't look like Gordy Wilson, I'm just going to be so disappointed.
I'm going to be blown away. I'm going to be like, who's this? What have you done with Mark Grin?
That's why I don't feel good about... Like, I see his avatar, and, like, I can't make any racial jokes. You know, because even though he's probably just a white dude.
Right.
He's not Goldie Wilson running for mayor on Sanford and Son or whatever the fuck that show was.
Right. If he doesn't show up looking like that, I'm going to be very disappointed.
Yeah. I'll never forget when Logan had everyone take a picture and he gave it to Dave, and the photo of Dave with the Mark Grin photo is just the greatest thing ever. It's like, Dave, like, get the fuck away from me, dude.
Why am I holding this?
He seems like to be out in the woods a lot.
He looks fucking like Forest Ranger or something.
Oh, that's
either in the woods
everything.
Or the bathtub.
Or drinking in the bathtub.
But I guess there's plenty of other things we could talk about if we think about it real quick.
Oh,
what's pissing you off right now, Craig, in wrestling?
In wrestling? How much time we got left on the show? I'm sick of the false starts. Basically, this guy's doing great, so let's bury him. You know, I'm sick of them changing their mind every 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Just a few months ago, Punk was such a rebel, you know, and now he's just, well, hey, Hunter, let me go grab your jacket and I'll go down and do commentary. Ha, ha, ha. And, you know, why don't you get a storyline and get a point, okay? We want to have, just for example, we want to have CM Punk versus Alberto Del Rio, and we're going to do it on the night of Royal Rumble. And how are we going to get to that point? Well, here's what we can do. So you get a stopping point, and then you backtrack to where we are right now. And don't veer off that path. Because even if it starts to fall apart, don't veer off the path, because you want to get to that end point. We want to put the title on Punk, Royal Rumble. And we want to make him look like this, and we want to have him stand out, and we want him to be our next babyface champion in the company. You get to the stopping point, and then from right now, that's your eye on the prize. Don't stray, nothing. Just keep your eye on the prize. And we want to have Alberto Del Rio run through people and build him up as a really, really strong champion. That way when Punk beats him, it means something. It's not brain science, brain science. It's not brain surgery. It's people have been doing this for years, and for some reason, the creative, the writing crew, whoever you got in both Impact Wrestling and WWE, have forgotten to let stories play out, and it's bothersome to me. And the other thing that's bothering me is I'm really tired of seeing John Morrison on his back. That guy deserves better than that. Just me.
Well, that's what he gets for having a crazy bitch fucking girlfriend.
Well, they're not in the company right now, so why does that matter?
I don't know, but for some reason it sure does.
I know. Yeah, that's what's bothering me with wrestling right now. And TNA... smashing, like I said, 6 months worth of 6 months worth of storyline. 3 weeks, get it over, get it done with, and turn Bobby Roode heel. There's no reason Bobby Roode should be a heel right now. He should be the number one babyface in the company, and he should be blowing through guys for the next 5-6 months before he even gets a worthy challenger. Just my opinion.
Like I say, he's gonna fail as a world champion.
Okay. You know, if somebody's pushed right, they won't fail as a champion. It's a fake sport. You can do whatever you want with it.
It was just funny they had, you know, Roode not win, and then they had James Storm win, but it ended up where okay, Roode now he finally got the title, but it wasn't in a situation where it's gonna be as important as it was at the pay per view. You know,
right?
With that build they had, and now James Storm's already had the title, lost it in like a week.
Okay,
people are going to care after that.
Okay, hold on. Everyone keeps complaining about why they didn't do this on pay per view. That it should have been done on pay per view, and not on TV. Well, I kind of have to agree with them putting the shit on TV because you got maybe 7,000 to 10,000 people watching on pay-per-view when you do have 1.1 people watching on TV. You know, whatever they do, whatever happens on TNA pay-per-view, it doesn't mean a goddamn thing because nobody fucking watches it. So I don't mind them putting their big title match on TV or making their – they don't make money on TV on pay-per-view. Pay-per-view is not what makes them any money whatsoever. They're not built to make money off like UFC where they make their money on pay-per-view. There's no reason to bitch about that because what's the point of doing something so major that only so few people are going to watch?
But the thing is, people actually shell out money for pay-per-views, and that's what you should be giving the people that are actually shelling out money for your pay-per-view, not people that are watching for free on TV. The payoff is supposed to be the payoff when the people actually pay their money.
Yeah, but only 7,000 to 10,000 people are going to pay their money for it. You know,
and that's why
TNA's
got it backwards.
It'd be one thing if they were putting 250 to 300,000, but they're not. They're barely making more than what ROH did on pay-per-view.
If they would do big things on pay-per-view, then people would be more apt to buy the pay-per-view in the next coming months because they could expect something big to happen on pay-per-view instead, we'll just wait till next week when TV's on again.
Yeah, but no matter what you do, they only have 1.1 fans to begin with. It doesn't matter. There's no way you're only going to get a certain percentage of your fans ever buying pay-per-view. Raw gets
it takes
3.0,
time to grow,
but they only get 200,000 people watching on pay-per-view. You know what I mean?
It doesn't matter.
Their pay-per-views are never ever going to make money unless something like the Monday Night Wars happen again and they get as big as Nitro did for those couple of years. But that's not going to happen. Pay-per-view is just a waste of time and effort and money with TNA, and there's no real reason to do something like that, in my opinion, right now. You know, maybe if they get hot and get more people watching on TV, then you could build to make the pay-per-view mean something. But right now, it's just not enough people. There's not enough TNA fans out there. I mean,
I understand the
principle, and I understand what you're saying, but the reality is it doesn't matter.
Go ahead, Couture.
I have no problem with them having him win the title on TV.
Mm.
if they would have had a story like going into Bound for Glory and we were just building it to a TV, I'd be fine with that. But they had no story. They just throw
right.
it out there like on a couple weeks' notice. That's what my problem was. I mean, not so much that it didn't happen on pay-per-view, it's just they had such a great story building to the pay-per-view. And then when he finally won the title on TV, there wasn't much story to it, so or build-up
right.
to it. So that's why I was negative on it.
The perfect ending to that story was Bobby Roode wins the title at the pay-per-view, and he comes out on Impact next week as a World Heavyweight Champion. But instead, you had an injured Kurt Angle go a minute and 30 seconds with James Storm, and he won the title. The swerve that Vince Russo likes to throw all the time, it's getting old. And TNA fans are like, they're like in an abusive relationship. And even if you ripped up the script and threw it away, and Jim Cornette finally snapped and shot Vince Russo in the head, and they started a whole new writing thing, and Lagana took over, whatever. It's going to take time for these abused people in this abusive relationship to trust TNA again. It would take months for them to rebuild the things that they have. I mean, for a while there, up until last week when we had the title change, I was actually enjoying Impact, watching it every week. And it hasn't been bad lately. I've enjoyed it more than Raw as of late, to be honest with you. But Vince Russo has to step in and throw that swerve in. And I guess you could put this all on Hulk Hogan in the pay-per-view 2 weeks ago because that was his call. But you never let the talent dictate what you do. That's bad. That's not a good idea.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, that's the wrestling business for the past 20 years. Talent took over.
And to preview our show for next week when we actually do talk about Brett and Sean, the reason that Brett had all that heat with Sean is because the clique was dictating where the storylines were going, and they were running the backstage area. I just got done watching it just a couple hours ago, and it just leads to bad things.
That's why everybody hated him.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's why you shouldn't have a writing team. You should have a sole booker. That way, it's one person.
Right.
You know, you got a writing committee. You can have your group splinter off, and you'll have two guys talking to one guy, and three guys talking to the other guy, and then it's the inmates running the asylum. You got to have one person making all the decisions. Basically, and
although
I think
if it was Vince Russo, I'd have him on a committee because you need people to filter that bullshit out.
That guy just needs to go. He needs to go sit down and take wrestling 101 classes. Okay, these guys, they had a pull apart brawl last week. Let's put them in first blood match. And no. You see, this you're thinking too long term. You need to pull it back a little bit. How about just putting them in a straight match first, and maybe they fight to a double count out. Oh, okay, that's a good idea. And then then we do the first blood match. No, Vince, hold on. You're thinking out of the box. Don't do that. Just think what you would do next. Lumberjack match. Yeah, great idea. Okay. And then the first blood match. No, Vince. He's always getting ahead of himself.
It's like they had the Daniels and AJ Styles I Quit match on the pay-per-view, and then at the tapings this past Tuesday, they went at it in a regular rules match.
Right.
Yeah, that is stupid
yeah.
when they do shit like that.
Let's put him in a cage, barbed wire cage. No, Vince. Pull it back, buddy. Yeah, you just can't help but throw out a gimmick match every time. Let's put something on a pole. Barbed wire. No, Vince. Pull it back.
Those pole matches. Those are the stupidest matches.
God. Right.
On a pole. I'm going to shimmy up this thing. You know what they should do? They should put Big Show and Mark Henry in some kind of a pole match, and then they just bend the pole to get the object down.
You remember back in the Great American Bash or something, when they put Big Bubba and John Tenta in the pole match for the Carson City Silver Dollars?
I can't get it out of my mind. Yeah.
You know,
wait, what's that again? I mean, I'm sorry. I only heard one name. What did you say?
John Tenta
and
Big
Bubba.
Boss Man.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No good.
It was like Starrcade 85 when they had the Mexican death match and you had to climb the pole to get Manny Fernandez's sombrero, and one of the people in the match was Abdullah the fucking Butcher.
Shit. You know, he could have been he could have been fleet of foot and signed up there.
Hey, the Muppets are on this Monday. I'm very excited.
I am excited. Screw Brian. He's wrong. Muppets going to rule.
Yeah, fuck Brian. He don't know what he's talking about. There's nothing that they could do that won't make this the most awesome role of all time.
I love the commercial on Monday, and it showed Kermit in the, you know, John Cena hat, and he was doing the You Can't See Me thing with his hand. It was pretty funny.
I rewound that and watched it like 3 times because my son was giggling so much. I was like, that's awesome. I can't wait.
And Miss Piggy hit a karate chop on Kermit. So
if they don't have the judges out there, they have to have the judges. You know? The guys on the balcony, the two judges.
The commentators?
Yeah. They've got to have those guys there.
Or at least have it like the little insets with them, like, at a desk back in the, like, locker room or something like that. Doing commentary or something like that. I don't know.
Well, they could get, like, you know, because all the arenas have, like, box seating, you know, the suite.
Yeah.
So you could just set one of those up there, like they did back in the day when they'd have, like, somebody who might be coming in or something, they'd have them up in the audience. They could do that. And then they could go to them, you know, a few times during the show. What I'm hoping is that they do the intro, the musical intro, and they have wrestlers and Muppets all singing the song. I mean,
I actually thought about that. It's time to light the light. Yeah, I could see.
Right.
Yeah, the two judges, the commentators could do all those witty remarks, like somebody gets low blown. Ooh, he got him right in the rectum. Rectum, damn near killed him. Oh!
And I'll be willing to bet you money that Vicky and Piggy have some kind of a, you know, do some kind of a skit.
That would be awesome.
It'd be awesome to kick Jerry Lawler's ass.
As long as Miss Piggy and Animal are on there, I'm satisfied.
Yeah. Swedish chef.
And they gotta have the fucking pyromaniac dude at the very start, right before the fireworks go off, and he fucking hits the what do you call it, the thing that goes down, and then the fireworks go off.
The plunger. Yeah, the explosives plunger.
Yeah.
And the
and
Swedish
they
chef.
Have Beaker in there. Beaker and Seamus driving around.
Swedish chef chasing chickens around backstage.
Chef back in catering, the Big Show or something.
No, you have Animal just back in the Divas locker room going, Woman, Woman.
Woman, Woman, ah!
Right.
There's so much
really for let down.
And I'm also excited because that means also I'm pretty sure they'll get Hornswoggle some TV time back again.
Hmm.
I thought it was funny on Monday when, or Tuesday on the Brian and Benny show when they were talking about getting excited for the Muppets thing. And Brian's like, trying to act like the Muppets are no longer good because Jim Henson is dead.
Mm-hmm.
Like that makes some sort of a difference. Make a little difference on some voices, but nothing that's really going to notice. I mean,
right.
Not like Jim Henson was one up with his hand up everybody's ass doing all the shit himself. There's plenty of other people doing it.
He died over 20 years ago. They've still been around, you know, since.
Actually, I used to go through a town. When I worked in Mississippi, I went through a town that was Jim Henson's hometown, and they had, like, a Jim Henson museum or something there. It's pretty cool.
When I was a kid, the local museum brought in, like, it was like the Muppet exhibit, and they had, like, all the Muppets, all the Sesame Street and the Fraggles, and it was actually probably the best museum exhibit thing I ever went to.
ooh, they could do a hardcore match when they reach under the ring to get the trash can. The Oscar the Crouch is in the trash can.
Yeah, but are they going to cross over with the Sesame Street? I mean, because he's Sesame Street, not really the Muppet.
Well, it's all owned by Disney now, so yeah, it's fine.
I mean, I'd be fine with it, but I don't know if they're going to do that.
Okay, fine. Crap all over my point.
If they're going to do that, though, they should also have a tag team match with Big Show and Big Bird. And they could fight Mark Henry and Sweetum.
No. They have to have Mark Henry and Snuffleupagus against Big Bird and the Big Show.
No, you got to have Snuffleupagus who's going to be in the corner of Big Show, and then they're going to have the swerve, and he turns on Big Bird.
Oh, God. Or how about the big hairy thing from the Muppets? The huge Muppet
Sweetum.
That was all hairy. Sweetum. What was his name?
Sweetum. Yeah.
Have him in there. Anyway.
This show has gone off the rails. He could actually do a match because it's a guy in an outfit.
Why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, they can have Mark Henry
strong.
They're
probably going to pre-tape all these that afternoon. Because the majority, I'm probably going to be backstage, I'm thinking.
Somebody send these ideas to them. They're not going to have anything better than this. Guaranteed.
Well, you send your ideas, and that makes them do the opposite.
Right. Right. Send them bad ideas.
On the board the other day, there was a thread about the Muppets, and somebody said, how can people be excited about something that's geared towards, like, 5-year-olds? I said, have you ever watched the Muppets?
Muppets were great.
It was geared towards everybody. I mean, Muppets could be on an episode of, like, freaking Oz on HBO, and it'd be okay. You know, this is the way that kind of thing goes. Muppets are just, they go through every age group. It don't matter. And they always have,
Muppets.
Like, they always do a little wink-wink, you know, like, to the adult audience and some of the things they say.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, like they had the reboot like 10 years ago. They had like, they did the Muppet Show again for like, I don't know, like 4 months. They even had like Prince on one of them. And yeah, it's good stuff, man. The little shrimp. And I can't remember what the. No, it's a prawn.
Yeah, the
I'm
new
sorry.
Character, the shrimp's pretty cool.
Yeah, the prawn and the elephant.
Well, he's hurt, so we probably won't be on there, but they should have done like Gonzo meeting Triple H or something.
Hmm. That's not bad. Nose to nose. I can see it.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. Yeah, that would be great. What do we got here? 13 minutes? Let me drop the plug here real quick. Everyone check out AngryMarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at AngryMarks.com along with a lot of other shows. And, so check out AngryMarks.com. Katrina, what's pissing you off right now besides your computer?
Nothing. Once you get pissed off at the computer at the level I got pissed off, nothing's really going to bother me now.
Well,
I watched Captain
America
the other day on pay-per-view. I rented that.
You what?
Watched Captain America.
I got it downstairs.
It's awesome.
He's kind of a shitty superhero.
Really?
Yeah, I don't care much for him. He's just a dude that took a bunch of steroids and got big. That's what was in those things when they put him in the machine. It was steroids.
Well, that's what it was, man. They made him a fucking super soldier.
Well, thanks for the point.
You didn't think he got like that naturally?
I don't know. Like, the Avengers don't drug test or have wellness policies?
They're run by the government. Of course they don't.
He's just kind of a goofy-looking superhero. You know, with the
shield.
I thought they did an awesome job. The one thing I was scared and worried about was how shitty the costume was going to look, but I thought they did as good a job as they could with it.
Oh, and this is here's the thing. So I taped this on the DirecTV, and so, you know, of course, it's a Marvel movie. You know, you gotta fast forward through the fucking credits at the end to get to some good shit. And
right.
And so, yeah, fast forward through the end, and it's the Avengers trailer. The trailer for the Avengers. And, of course, being like, you know, DVRs are, when it gets to that point, it cuts off right in the middle of the damn trailer. I'm so mad. I'm going to even matter next week, since I have DirecTV, I may be losing FX and can't watch Sons of Anarchy.
They're not going to lose it, dude. It's just all negotiating.
Well, that's
keep
what they said about
bullshit.
The WWF, and that they were going for like 3 months off of DirecTV.
Really? Wow. Yeah, Sons of Anarchy has been fucking badass this year.
Yeah. It feels like a series finale with the stuff they're doing. When you killed the guy's dad the other night, Opie's dad the other night or something
Painting.
Like that.
They killed Painting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know it's got to be the end. There's no way, what the hell is his name? The leader, Couture. What's his real name? Yeah, Clay, what's his real name?
Ron Perlman.
Ron Perlman, yeah, you know Ron Perlman's not going past the season. There's just no way. I mean, I'd be shocked.
Plus, they're planning that he wants the doctor. He wants the doctor killed also.
Yeah, but, that's been an awesome show.
Great,
Walking Dead
has been
super bad.
I could care less. I can't wait to go downstairs and watch Chuck at 8 o'clock. That's my show, so.
I got 265 episodes of Frasier I'm into right now, so.
You need to start watching Battlestar Galactica and finish that in a couple weeks.
I know, right? I just kind of got away from watching a bunch of stuff.
I mean, you don't have to do it in 2 weeks, but make sure you get that done.
This has been the geekiest show we've ever done. We were talking about wrestling to the Muppets to Captain America to Battlestar Galactica. This has been
a wrestling audio show. It's something geeky no matter what you do.
Here, let me throw out one more geeky thing. I can't wait to get done with this show. So I go downstairs and play Batman Arkham City some more because that game rules. There. Geek.
See, if you're a real man, you'd be
completed.
Playing a Marvel game. Is that DC? Come on. DC stuff.
Whatever. The Batman game rules.
Did you download that Angry Birds update, Ed?
Yes, and I only got 3 levels that I need 3 stars on. That I just need to.
I got 3 stars on all of them.
Oh, fucker. I've only played it like twice, though.
Oh, my gosh. Let's end this show.
Yeah. Do you like the new bird? How do you like the new bird, Couture?
The balloon? I don't care for it much. It was goofy.
Fucking puffer bird.
I got 3 stars on
every level. I didn't
know
what it was
going
to do,
because
I didn't pay attention to the screen where it tells you what happened, and I didn't. I just, you know, shot him, and he hit, and then all of a sudden he fucking blew up, and I was like, oh, shit. That made me laugh. But anyway,
I got three stars on every level on all 3 of the games, but, you know, I had to go to YouTube and cheat.
Oh, you fucking cheater. Yeah, I did mine all natural.
Say what, Craig?
Let's end the show.
Okay.
I got stuff to do.
How come you guys get to talk about what's pissing you off and I don't? You know what's pissing me off? Craig is always trying to end the show before I'm ready to end the show. That's what's pissing me off.
I can't imagine our listeners just, you know, sitting through us babbling mindlessly about the Muppets and Captain America and Battlestar Galactica and Sons of Anarchy.
Honestly, the shows that are like this actually do the interviews, believe it or not.
I know.
5 of our listeners are...
Except when Lance, Dave, and Brian are on. Those are, of course, our highest ones. But
well, right. And that's when you guys are the most well-behaved.
Brian, did you hear that fucking New Year's show we did last year? Contreras going fucking crazy, fucking drunk off his ass.
New Year's coming up soon, fellas.
Yeah. I wonder if it's on Friday again. That'd be cool.
I can't wait till the annual Christmas show. So... I wonder what we'll do this year. Hopefully I don't have to wear a suit this year.
You didn't wear a suit last year. You just had a jacket on. But
no,
that
I
was
had,
the best Christmas
a...
show ever last year. I thought that was the best one ever.
Well, get your flights now, and Brian will have a bigger party. It'll be fun.
I enjoyed that year when they said something about Craig's daughter, and he hung up on him.
Yeah. Yeah, I do that
sometimes. Then they called you back, and your answer said hello, and Brian just said, we apologize.
Right. We're sorry.
The best line from last year was from Brian, was just, like, finally at his drunkest, and he's like, who listens to this shit? Have some self-respect.
That made me laugh.
The one,
anyway,
I was just going to say the funniest thing was he took a shot of, God, what did he take a shot of? It was something, but it just went, he went, ooh, it was rolling. It's like, what are you doing, you weirdo?
He needs to build up a little tolerance, though, because, I mean, I don't think I've ever met a man who gets drunk off of, like, two shots the way he does.
It's like three shots, you know. There was a point where he looked up at me and goes, are we done? What are we doing? It's like, are you serious right now? Like, I don't remember. How long? Be 4 hours into the show? Are you serious? It's like, dude, you blacked out for, like, 20 minutes. And there was
where they missed like a whole joke from Dr. Leach.
Yeah. Well, there was at one point I was telling the story about Ed Moretti. Maybe I'll tell you like next week or something. Ed Moretti saw Brian in the shower and made a couple of comments, and they were flattering comments. And I was telling the story about that, and Brian forgot to push record after he called somebody. So that whole thing, like 20 minutes worth of the show, was like totally gone.
Yeah, well, that was an awesome show. I can't wait for this show, but I don't think they can top it. But anyway, we'll go ahead and wrap up here. Everyone come back next week. We'll for sure do our topic next week, for sure.
Hopefully. What if we get a guest?
No, I was prepared, people. I was prepared. But, you know.
I was ready to talk about it. It's not like we don't know what's going on the DVD.
You don't know because they have new insight and information that's about to come up in the third part, Craig.
I was very surprised at how honest Shawn Michaels was at how much of an idiot he was in the late 90s.
Yeah, he kind of agreed on a lot of the stuff. You know, he just kind of,
yeah.
If he didn't remember something, he said, I don't know that happened, but, you know, I probably did say that or something like that, you know.
Yeah. He was completely, I can see him being the changed man that people say he is, so I get it.
Yeah, it was excellent. Well, we'll talk about that next week for sure, so everybody come back next week. And
unless we have a guest.
Well, we can do both.
Sure. Maybe I can book Shawn Michaels for our show next week.
Go for it. I bet you
can. San Antonio, do we know anybody there that could hook us up?
One more time, I'm sorry.
I hear Shawn lives in San Antonio. Do we know anybody in San Antonio that can hook us up with an interview?
Nobody.
I should go to Pat Hagee's church and see if I can meet him there.
Ooh, good call.
If I lived in San Antonio, I'd go to church just because it was the same one Shawn Michaels goes to. That's the only reason I'd go.
Right.
Yeah, dude, Paul Hagee's kind of a pain in the ass. Dude, that guy's fucking annoying. Why does he want to raise money to send the Jews back to Israel? Why the hell would they want to go back to Israel and get killed?
I would just stare at his wife uncomfortably for 2.5 hours during the church service.
Well, I'd do what I always did at church service. I'd just draw pictures on the program or something like that.
Y'all all did
program.
It. Program. I might have done it last week. Anyway. Yeah, come back and listen to us next week. We'll have something fun. Bye, kids.
That was a very good Christian of you, Craig, to do that in church, man. So pay attention.
Play the music.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the measuring stick. Let's go, hook him up. I wear your Texas ass out there today. The game is ours to play. And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.